ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट नंबर 18 श्री भगवान उवाच Saptabhi pita puta Pitribhi sahate naga Yat sadosya kule jato Bhavan vai kulapavana Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Prahlad, O most pure, O great saintly person, your father has been purified along with 21 forefathers in your family. Because you were born in this family, the entire dynasty has been purified. Purport the word Tri Saptabhi means 7 multiplied by 3. In one's family, one can count back 4 or 5 generations to one's great-grandfather or even one's great-grandfather's father. But since the Lord mentions 21 forefathers, this indicates that the benediction expands to other families also. Before the present family in which one has taken birth, one must have been born in other families. Thus, when a Vaishnava takes birth in a family, by the grace of the Lord, he purifies not only that family, but also the families of his previous births. Whenever and wherever there are peaceful, equipoised devotees who are well behaved and decorated with all good qualities, that place and the dynasties there, even if condemned, are purified. Purport, whatever exalted devotees say, not only they and their dynasties, but the entire, wherever exalted devotees stay, not only they and their dynasties, but the entire country is purified. I'll read the verses again, the translations. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Prahlad, O most pure, O great saintly person, your father has been purified along with 21 forefathers in your family. Because you were born in this family, the entire dynasty has been purified. Whenever there's a famous verse spoken by Yudhisthira Maharaj to Vidura. Can't remember the Sanskrit exactly. Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani. Maybe someone remembers it. Huh? Bhavan. Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas. Tirtha Bhuta Svayam Vibho. Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. Svantastena Kadabrata. Saints of your caliber are like places of pilgrimage. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. So it's a very nice verse, indicating the potency of the devotee. The devotee becomes potent because of his surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, 26 qualities of a devotee. Nectar of Devotion also, I think you'll find. Many things you'll find there in both books, actually. Rupa Goswami has written the Nectar of Devotion, Bhaktisamrita Sindhu, and Krishnadas Kaviraj has written the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many of the instruction of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya is speaking directly in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this same instruction Rupa Goswami has also recorded in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because Lord Chaitanya, he didn't write any books himself. He just, you know, gave verbal instructions, and he gave many verbal instructions to Rupa Goswami and to Sanatana Goswami. So he ordered Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami to go to Vrindavan and to excavate the places of Lord Krishna's pastimes, and also to write books. So therefore, you know, many of the instructions which were given verbally to them, we find, obviously find in their books. So we can find in both books these important instructions. So the 26 qualities of devotee are enumerated, and it is considered that of 26, one is primary and 25 are secondary. So the one primary quality of a devotee is that he is surrendered to Krishna. As a result of his surrender to Krishna, the other 25 qualities, they gradually become manifested in his personality. Because surrender to Krishna, well, it means to follow the instructions of Lord Krishna, to accept him as the supreme authority, to follow his instruction, that is to say, to follow the process of bhakti yoga. And of course, our acharyas have given many details as to how we should follow that process. Lord Chaitanya and the acharyas have given many detailed instructions, so especially chanting the holy names attentively, inoffensively, hearing the Bhagavatam and glorifying, repeating the pastimes of the Lord, worshipping the deity, associating with the devotees, visiting the holy places. All these activities are especially stressed by Lord Chaitanya. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan Maturavas Shri Murtira Shradaya Sevan Shakala Sadhana Sreshte Panchanga Krishna Prema Janmai Panchalpa Shanga. These five items are Shakala Sadhana Sreshta, the best of all different kinds of sadhana. And even a little performance of these five can awaken one's love for Krishna. So by accepting the authority of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, the acharyas, following their instructions, one surrenders to Krishna, one associates with Krishna, and therefore one carries Krishna within the heart. Of course, Krishna is in everyone's heart, but the devotee is conscious of that and allows Krishna to act upon his consciousness through the devotional practices. So therefore, the devotee, you know, he becomes a representative of Krishna. Krishna speaks through such devotees. Krishna manifests himself through the behavior of such devotees. And therefore, the devotees purify others. They are likened onto places of pilgrimage. People go to places of pilgrimage for purification. But unfortunately, they go to unload their sinful activities there. So the holy places also become burdened by that. Therefore, the great devotees also go to the holy places. And they can purify even the holy places due to their, you know, sincere devotional activities. It's no doubt also a reason why Srila Prabhupada constructed ISKCON temples in Vrindavan in Mayapur. And he instructed devotees, when they come to the holy dams, they should engage seriously in hearing and chanting. lots of kirtan, lots of hearing. He liked the devotees to go to the programs and, you know, in this way, not just go to the shopping or whatever in Loy Bazaar, or not just sleeping there in the holy time, but to participate in the programs. That this would purify the devotees, of course. Prabhupada said that in preaching in different parts of the world, there may be, you know, some subtle contamination comes due to, you know, a lot of association with non-devotees in the course of devotional service and preaching. So therefore, he liked the devotees to come to the holy places and they could get extra purification and extra enlivenment and go back to their respective countries and preach and practice Krishna consciousness with the more enthusiasm and determination. At the same time, many people come to the holy dams so they could see the devotees from all over the world, and you know, this would be an inspiration to them also. You know, Prabhupada also saw the holy dams as places for preaching to the pilgrims, to the locals also, to be more strict in their standards. And holy places themselves will get benefit from such serious and strict devotional activities. So everything is benefited in this way. So this is the power of the devotee, the devotees. And even though devotees may appear in demoniac families, still there, by their Krishna consciousness, they can purify those families. So here, the Lord himself is saying it to Prahlad Maharaj. 21 forefathers will be purified. The entire dynasty has been purified, he says, because you've been born in this family. And Prabhupada has given an explanation here that this can refer also, the devotee has had previous births in different families. Those families also get benefit. They get purification. So mystical how it happens, but anyway, that's the statement here of Srila Prabhupada. And once I brought my parents to meet Srila Prabhupada in a Bhaktivedanta manner. It was on Rathiatra Day, 1973. Srila Prabhupada, actually, we acquired Bhaktivedanta Manor in 1973. Our temple was in Berry Place, in a city. It was a rented building, but it was very crowded. There were so many devotees. And George Harrison was a keen supporter of ISKCON, and you know, he had promised to acquire, he knew it was very crowded and very pleasant, he had promised to acquire a bigger property, and devotees were looking for a long time. And you know, finally they find this place. It was called Piggott's Manor before. Of course, it's a very old building. I don't know, maybe a couple of hundred years old. But it had been used as a, I think it was some kind of a training school for nurses or something. I'm not exactly sure. Anyway, that's not so important. But anyway, the devotees acquired it in 1973. But George Harrison purchased it, and you know, he allowed the devotees to use it initially. I think that it was just for some nominal rent, like £1 a year or something. Many years later, he transferred the ownership over to ISKCON, but not in the beginning. And the devotees must have moved in about April or so, because Srila Prabhupada came there for the first time in May 1973, and he arrived by helicopter. He came by helicopter from London Heathrow Airport. Directly, the helicopter landed on the lawns at the front of Bhaktivedanta Manor. And I remember the first... I had been sent to Dublin in Ireland. I was like at a temple president. He had opened a new temple there. And we came over to see Srila Prabhupada. Actually, we arrived late. I didn't see him arriving by helicopter. But we arrived just after he. And then we attended the first kirtan there. It was held in a... not in the present temple room, but in what is now a theater room. Actually, in that visit, and again, when Prabhupada came at Rathiatra, he stayed a long time then. But the temple room was being gotten ready. The deities were not installed until Janmashtami, Radha Krishna, deity Radha Gokulananda. They were installed on Janmashtami, so... the programs were going on in that theater room all the time in May and also in July after he came for Rathiatra. In July, Prabhupada lectured from the first chapter of a Bhagavad Gita. There was a long series of lectures. He was every morning he was giving Gita class. that first evening in the manor, there was kirtan, and at the end of kirtan, instead of saying all glories to the assembled devotees, Prabhupada said all glories to George Harrison, all glories to George Harrison, glories to George Harrison, three times. But it was quite cold even in May. Climate in England is, you know, damp, drizzly. Prabhupada didn't like the climate in England at all. In fact, later in the main temple room, I remember a devotee asked a question, does Krishna speak Bhagavad Gita in hell? And Prabhupada said, this London is hell. He said, yes, this London is hell. So he considered a climate to be hellish. He went to Edinburgh in 1972. Prabhupada had gone to Edinburgh to install the deities there. He did a program in Glasgow. And Edinburgh and Glasgow, they're the two main cities of Scotland. Very cold in July. This is summer, you know. We had a traveling Sankirtan party. We went there to publicize the program. So we were there with Srila Prabhupada, and he installed the deities in Edinburgh, and so one day there was a program there, and then he went to Glasgow the next day for another program. It's a famous program because of very well attended, and at the end of the lecture, one boy, sort of hippie boy, came down, walked all the way down, and then stood in front of the stage, and he said to Prabhupada, I think that I am God. And Prabhupada responded, you are not G-O-D, God. You are D-O-G, dog. And the audience, you know, erupted in it, clapping. The boy, he just nodded his head and he turned. He walked all the way back to his seat. And there was a big kirtan. Prabhupada was supposed to go back to Edinburgh, but you know, it was so cold he didn't want to go. He decided to go straight back to London. So he found the British climate to be unpleasant. And he didn't stay long in May in the manor either. And the manor was very bare at that time. I remember Prabhupada's room, there was almost nothing in it. Bare floor, no carpet. I remember being in his room, he was having his massage and he was taking prasad, just sitting on the bare floor. So then he went off somewhere else, and he came back again in July for Rathiatra. It was a very grand Rathiatra, actually. One of the our Mahavishnu Swami. He had gotten inheritance from his uncle, 7,000 pounds, and donated 1,000 pounds to our Dublin center, so we could get a van. We purchased a van. With that van, we went there and started the center. The other 6,000 pounds he spent for a Rathiatra festival, built a big cart, new cart, and they sponsored the whole festival. They put up these tents on Trafalgar Square, some kind of like pandal things, and they secured into the square itself by driving some sort of stakes, metal stakes, in between the tiling on the square. Just did some damage, I think. And they also, the cart, it had a, one of those telescopic things. It would go up. So it was at a certain height, and the police came to inspect it. But then during the actual parade, the devotees hoisted it further. The police were not happy with all these things, and they stopped Rathiatra in Trafalgar Square then. Many, many years wasn't held, maybe 20 years after that. But again, maybe nearly 30 years. Recently, they have given permission again. The devotees are having it in Trafalgar Square. But there was 2 years in which Prabhupada attended Rathiatra in Trafalgar Square, 1972 and 1973. There was a Vyasasana mounted on the front of the car in each year. 1972, Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasana and all the way in the procession from Marble Arch to Trafalgar Square. And then there was a program in the square. There's a plinth at the base of Nelson's Column. Nelson's Column is a very high monument to Lord Nelson. It was the Spanish he defeated in the, or the French, I don't know, Battle of Trafalgar. It's a Trafalgar Square. It's named after that battle, and Nelson's Column is named after this Admiral Nelson. So there's a program. Prabhupada's Vyasasana was on that plinth. It would be about 6 feet off the ground, and like a big stage at the base of the Nelson's Column. And Prabhupada, there was kirtan lecture. It was a fire jagya. I got my Brahmin initiation then in 1972 in the fire jagya there. Prabhupada gave the Gayatri mantra in the temple afterwards. And in 1973, also there was a fire jagya, I think, if I recall. I'm not 100% sure what there, but there was definitely a program. Prabhupada, actually, on the 73, he didn't sit on the Vyasasana, and he told the devotees, he rather, walked all the way, and he told the devotees to gather around him, play madanga, kartals. And so he was dancing all the way from Marble Arch to Trafalgar Square. He would walk forward, and then he would stop and look back at Lord Jagannath and dance. So very ecstatic. perhaps the best of all Rathiatras, at least for the devotees in London. yes, devotees unfortunately went too far, and so we couldn't have Rathiatra in Trafalgar Square again, and Prabhupada didn't attend any Rathiatras in London after that. But he has mentioned in one purport, I think, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because there was a picture the next day of a Rathiatra cart standing beside Nelson's Column. The photographer had taken it, from an angle in such a way that it looked like, the The Rathiyatra cart was as high as the column, you know, just a kind of illusion created by the photography. And the caption was, you know, that this Rathiyatra cart rivals Nelson's column. So Prabhupada, he was very pleased with that. And it's a Guardian newspaper, I think. It's a famous, one of the famous newspapers of England. And he's mentioned it in a purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Mahavishnu Maharaj, he got special mercy in that way by donating his inheritance. Recently, he also got inheritance. His parents died. That was from his uncle. He also he had donated to ISKCON Nepal for purchase of some vehicle, and also he has purchased some land on the bank of the Gandaki River for a Briddha ashram for old devotees who can go. A beautiful place there. He wants to develop an ashram there. Anyhow, that was 1973 Rathiyatra. So I started talking about that because I had brought my parents there to see Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada arrived the evening before Rathiyatra. I was cooking for the festival, actually. We had cooked, I think, nonstop, 48 hours, all day, all night, and very opulent prasad, pushpana, you know, this rice with, you know, different nice things in it, cashew nuts and raisins and cheese and paneer, fried paneer, and he had a sabji, opulent sabji, cauliflower sabji, plenty of ghee, had halva, sweet rice with camphor, pakoras, many preparations. We also had made a rhubarb chutney. Rhubarb, you know? You don't have it in India, so it's a kind of red. Looks, you know what celery is? Celery? Well, it looks a bit like celery, only it's red. Made rhubarb chutney. Actually, there was a kind of cold storage van, and this rhubarb chutney was in these big plastic bins. There were several full of this chutney. Devotees served out this huge feast. I mean, it must have been 10,000 people there. The whole square was completely packed, and they served out the whole feast. They forgot to serve the rhubarb chutney. So after the Rathiyatra, you know, all the devotees were clearing up, cleaning up everything, and, you know, clearing up everything, and they were very hot. It was a very hot day. And suddenly someone remembered rhubarb chutney. And they brought out these big bins, and it was kind of liquidy and very cool. So the devotees were, you know, they were drinking. So it was very refreshing. They had nice, cool drink, like a drink. after the hot, you know, intense festival. Anyhow, Prabhupada arrived the evening before. The devotees had come, many devotees from all over Europe, and all the way from the gate of the manor, all the way along the driveway into the front entrance, and there was ecstatic kirtan going on for a couple of hours, and finally Prabhupada arrived. And then the next day was Rathiyatra. So all the devotees had mostly gone, and my parents came, and I brought them to see Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was very courteous, and, you know, he talked to them a little bit about Krishna consciousness, and he said, nice son and nice father. And he said, if someone becomes a devotee, then 10 generations in the past, 10 generations in the future will be liberated. And then he gave me his garland, and he told me, put it on my father, like that. So the same thing, you know, Prabhupada is saying, well, the numbers are not exactly the same. Prabhupada said 10 generations in the past, 10 in the future. Here, 21, although it says four fathers, and Prabhupada has given the explanation that it can also refer to the other families in which the devotee previously took birth. And certainly if he would take birth again in the future, those families will be liberated due to his due to the potency of his devotional service. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is all auspicious. It's beneficial for everyone. And Srila Prabhupada, yesterday I mentioned how in his first meeting with his spiritual master told him to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, or preach widely. And at the end of his spiritual master's life, just before his spiritual master's departure, Prabhupada had written him that I am a grihastha and I cannot, you know, serve you so closely as your sannyasi and brahmachari disciples. But please instruct me how I can best serve you. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote back that, you know, preach Krishna consciousness in the English language and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And he said, this will be beneficial for you and it will be beneficial for others as well. So Krishna consciousness is all auspicious because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all auspicious. And the devotee is so fortunate that by accepting this process, following this process, he constantly has the association of the Lord. And he also gives that association to others. He's delivering Krishna to others, giving the greatest gift, the greatest treasure of Krishna consciousness. So in this way, there is nothing of great value in the material world. Even Dhruva Maharaj, you know, he was born in a royal family and he was hankering after the kingdom of his father, and he worshipped the Lord just to get that kingdom. But once he got the association of the Lord, he realized, you know, this material kingdom is insignificant. I have been searching for broken glass, but I have found the greatest jewel. There's nothing to compare with the association of the Lord. So therefore, when the Lord asked him what benediction he wanted, he prayed that just to have your association, to be engaged in your devotional service. That's the only benediction I want. The Lord said, any way you take, you know, give him a planet as well. And here also, Prahlad Maharaj, interesting. The Lord says, my dear Prahlad, a devotee like you never desires any kind of material opulences, either in this life or in the next. Nonetheless, I order you to enjoy the opulences of the demons in this material world, acting as their king until the end of the duration of time occupied by Manu. So Lord, anyway, you know, may instruct his devotee to, you know, take a kingdom or a planet or whatever, and you know, live, enjoy even in the material world. But the essence, of course, is that he should be a devotee. And that is the real treasure. So there is nothing, the devotee realized there's nothing of permanent value in the material world. The only thing of permanent value is Krishna consciousness. And so therefore we should always be eager to practice Krishna consciousness, to develop Krishna consciousness, and to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. That is the very best kind of activity, the topmost activity. So all those who are engaged in that activity are the most fortunate. And if they have material desires, they can also fulfill their material desires in connection with Krishna consciousness. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajetu purusam param. Whether a person is free from material desires or full of material desires or desires liberation. In any case, one who has got broader intelligence should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Hare Krishna. Any questions? Or comment? Any comment? Yes. Microphone, please.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Class, just a short question. What does this liberation actually refer to? Meaning the families that will be liberated or that were liberated. What kind of liberation is this meant? What exactly is meant with this liberation? Thank you.
Well, it doesn't say exactly, does it? But at least it would be Brahman liberation. And quite possibly liberation to the Vaikuntha, or at least the opportunity to take up Krishna consciousness. I think that's probably the best liberation, isn't it? That one gets the opportunity to take Krishna consciousness. So I think we could understand like that.
Krishna Maharaj.
I remember we were in discussing in Mayapur. It was during the GBC meetings. There was a Bhagavatam class, and many of the senior devotees were there. So there was that question was raised about you know that in Chaitanya Charitamrita there's a story about how Haridas Thakur was at the home of Hiranyan Govardhan Majumdar, the uncle and father of Raghunath Das Goswami, and he was speaking about the glories of the holy name, and he said there that, you know, there was discussion what is the benefit of chanting the holy name, and some people were saying that liberation is the result, and Haridas Thakur was saying that liberation, you know, is insignificant compared to the real benefits of chanting the holy name. The real benefit of chanting the holy name is that one attains, you know, Krishna prema. One can get liberation even by namabhas, chanting, you know, more in the clearing stage. It's not just by getting glimpses of the pure chanting. In namabhas, one just gets glimpses. And one Brahmin challenged the statement. He said, what is this, you know, a sentimental devotee speaking like this? Actually, it takes many lifetimes to get liberation. And he challenged Haridas. He said, if one doesn't get liberation by Namabhas, he said, I'll cut off your nose. And of course, the whole assembly was really shocked by this statement. But Haridas said, these are the statements of the scripture. He said, if it's not true, I'll cut off my own nose. No, assembly broke up. You know, people were chastising this Brahmin, Gopal Chakravarti. You know, you shouldn't be speaking like this. In fact, he got leprosy, and his nose fell off, and his fingers fell off. And Haridas was very sorry to hear that. But anyway, the discussion was that what sort of liberation was Haridas referring to? So, it's not exactly specified. Not exactly specified, but well, one would think to Vaikuntha by chanting the holy names. So in this case, of course, those forefathers, not actually chanting the holy names. It's a devotee that's chanting the holy names. So, what kind of liberation are they getting? Could be, depends on their, I guess it depends how it affects them, the fact that someone in the family became a devotee, but surely they would get the opportunity to take to devotional service, because ultimately, Brahman liberation, it's not the real liberation, is it? It's only a temporary kind of liberation. Still, it's of some benefit, but in the Battle of Kurukshetra, we learn that those who opposed Krishna, were fighting against Krishna, they also got liberation. What kind of liberation? I've read somewhere, I can't remember where, that those, when they left their body, they were still inimical to Krishna, they got Brahman liberation, whereas those who actually, you know, accepted Krishna as the Supreme Lord, and some of them did, their consciousness was transformed, they actually went to the spiritual world. So it can be different types of liberation according to the particular person's nature or consciousness, but great spiritual benefit obviously is there. Yes, another question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, I heard that this, which is liberation, is said, it is like they get the opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness, and if they practice, they get liberation. So that means in this shloka, it is mentioned that they are liberated, all are liberated. It is mentioned. So if they are not taking the opportunity, then it of practicing Krishna consciousness, then they will not be liberated. So it contradicts this shloka.
Well, they might get some Brahman liberation for some time.
Even if they don't take the opportunity.
If they don't take the opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness, then they may get Brahman liberation for some time. That would be my understanding, because it says that they, you know, they get liberated, or they get, well, purified is the word actually used here, purified, but elsewhere it says liberated. So, and Prabhupada himself, when he spoke to my father, he said liberated, and there are other places where he said liberated, but yes, at least I think that's the right understanding. They get the chance to practice Krishna consciousness. That is the liberation in and of itself. That is the best liberation. Okay, any other questions or comments? All right. Hare Krishna, Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Prema Nandi. Yeah.